And now, Maureen's health headline.
Daniela Steinfeld is a New York-based award-winning actress, activist, and filmmaker born and raised in Serbia. Daniela is the creator of Hold Me Right, a feature documentary about the traumatic aftermath and healing for victims and perpetrators of sexual violence, which also tells the story of her own traumatic experience. She's on a mission to create tools that can empower survivors and educate the public to break the profound damage of silence and help survivors find a path forward. Much like Hold Me Right, the Way Out game was created out of her pain, expertise, and passion. And she joins me on the line from the great state of New York, or the great city of New York, right now. Good evening, Daniela.
Good evening, Maureen. Thank you for having me on the program.
Oh, it's so nice for you to join the program. It's pretty late where you are, 11 o'clock at night. So I really appreciate you coming on live. That's awesome.
That's okay. Yes, I'm still fully awake. New Yorkers never sleep, basically.
This is true. It is the city that never sleeps. I love New York City, by the way. It is my all-time favorite city. I do some work in New York, so yeah, it's just fabulous. Anyway, thank you so much for joining the program, and coming on live underscores the passion that you have about this subject. And you're so right. We need to break the profound damage of silence because, you know, people remain silent and that doesn't help. I was just curious if you wanted to share, you know, a part or some of your own traumatic experience.
Yeah, so I was born and raised in Serbia, and I had a beautiful acting career. And in the height of my career, I had a terrible misfortune of being held captive and raped by a colleague of mine that I worked with, who happens to be a powerful politician. And I fled my country and I left everything I had, and I left in silence without explaining to anybody why I'm leaving. And I found my shelter and safety and healing in New York, and just new made friends. And the healing process was definitely long. I suffered from post-traumatic stress disorder. And the unconditional support that I got from a close friend gave me an idea what does us as a bystander and support could do to heal survivors. So then I was thinking, like, if I got this kind of healing from support from my friends, I should do something so others could have this message, this important message, and basically way out from their trauma. So I decided to make a feature documentary about healing after trauma, and I interviewed perpetrators and victims. And in the process of making of the film, I had an idea about a video game that can be very suitable for young boys to play or young men.
Before we get too far down the path here, I just had a few questions for you. In terms of, you know, can people ever heal from sexual violence? And I'm terribly sorry for what happened to you. It's absolutely horrific. Is this a journey that people are on? So many people struggle so much after they have been sexually violated, after they've been raped, after they've been the victim of this type of violence. You know, is it something that it's a process? Did you overcome it? And was that through the help of your friends?
Thank you for asking me that. Ultimately, speaking was my healing, and working on the film where I took in a last part of working on a film, I took courage to share my story. I was really afraid to speak up. I think that healing is a very, very complex, it's a very, very complex process. And it's not the same for all of us. Actually, it's quite different. But for the interviewing many survivors of horrendous crimes that they suffered through. They were victimized. I've learned that speaking is healing. However, it's not so easy to tell a survivor to speak up. It comes with a lot of consequences and retaliation very often, and it can backfire, and that can be like what experts call secondary victimization. It can be sometimes much worse than the original crime.
But can survivors actually, they don't have to speak out publicly, but I often say, you know, what to my clients, my patients, you know, when you cry, you release the pain. And when you share your story, even with a trusted person, one time there was somebody in my clinical practice, they were not going to tell anybody. They just couldn't. And I suggested they, you know, sit in the bathroom and tell the wall. Is it helpful to release that story? Does it help to release some of the pain?
I think it is. I think that we should share as much as we feel comfortable and as much as we feel safe. And I think the sharing the story places us in owning the narrative, and this is our story. When we are silent, the story goes that this never happened. And the story goes is that kind of the right is on perpetrator to be doing this. We are kind of covering their crime in a way. So I think,
and it is a crime. I like that you use that word because it's a crime.
It's a horrific crime. It's a horrific crime with the long lasting consequences on a person and on a family, on communities. It's very often the one night of sexual violence can have a long lasting consequences. And to answer your question,
profound.
Yes. So I am very, very fortunate to have found safety and kind of also mental structure for myself and therapy to heal.
What were some of the symptoms that you experienced afterward, the physical and emotional and mental symptoms?
So right after this has happened, I was not able to sleep. Then once I realized that, like, kind of from the initial shock, I started to have a sense of euphoria, which is also a very common thing to misunderstand survivors. I'm not an expert, but it's a probably innate sense of our body that, like, we survived. And then it went on later on after I was not able to sleep. I was wanted to drink. I never was a drinker, not before, not after. I had like a month that I was drinking. I didn't even feel drunk. I was blaming myself. I was very, very scared. And when I came to the United States, basically kind of thinking that all of that is over. Nobody knows. I can get over it. I don't have to deal with any of this. I started having panic attacks. And they were so strong that eventually I did Google anonymous hotline and shared a story with an anonymous person who was very empathetic and started my healing process through counseling. It was a really, really, I cannot recognize myself from back then, nor my friends cannot recognize me. Mm-hmm. I was definitely riddled with PTSD. It was very hard for me to, couldn't meet new people. If I was going to a subway, any kind of a strong audio stimuli would, like from the train, would scare me. I couldn't go on a plane. I couldn't fly. Those turbulences made my body lose control, and I had panic attacks. I suffered from insomnia that eventually was so bad that then I had heart issues. It was pretty difficult. What helped the most actually is I just didn't know how I can be a functional person. I was eventually suicidal because I just didn't know how to deal as a foreigner with no access to kind of a resources when I wasn't able to work. I just didn't know how to continue. And right. Knowing that I had a safe haven of friends that kind of told me basically, no matter how you show up, no matter how long does it last, you can be safe with us. And they offered me to live in their house. I was in a pretty bad shape. And that gave me that was my remedy.
My guest is Daniela Steinfeld. She is the creator of Hold Me Right, a feature documentary about the traumatic aftermath and healing for victims and perpetrators of sexual violence, which also tells the story of her own traumatic experience. She's also the creator of The Way Out, a game that has been created out of her pain, expertise, and passion. Daniela, I'm sure people's ears perked up when they heard that the feature documentary, Hold Me Right, is healing for not just victims, but for perpetrators. I know you interviewed perpetrators for that feature documentary. What did you learn?
I've learned lots of things. I've learned the deep level of ignorance and indifference to the consequences of the actions that they've, and the crimes that they've committed. I've interviewed many perpetrators from people that just don't want to admit that they committed a crime, even though they were incarcerated, to young drunk men who had unconsensual sex at the age of 18 and was incarcerated for that. And he was very, very confused about what is happening and what are the human rules of conduct and boundaries and consent. And he was confused about it even during our interview. And I've approached them with compassion. I don't know how I found it. I guess maybe it was just my inquisitory documentary filmmaker in me that knew that I have to do that. But they've definitely opened up, and I was very surprised that the things that they share with me that this is even being recorded.
So it sounds like it was a lot of denial and ignorance on the part of these criminals, these rapists.
Yes. So that's kind of ignorance comes from. We all live in a rape culture that we're all born into. Very often we just don't know it, and the kind of signals from mainstream culture, from our values, came for men to understand that women's bodies, children's bodies, they don't, the will on our bodies don't really belong to us. And they picked up on those signals and they acted upon them.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've also created something called The Way Out. It's a game. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yes, The Way Out game is a kind of in an early stage of development. This also kind of came of my kind of curiosity of like, can we prevent sexual violence from happening? Can we actually eradicate rape culture from our values as a society? And then I was thinking that how to address that, and the Way Out game came to came out as an idea to put in an interactive storytelling, role playing storytelling. The player is supporting and guiding somebody that has gone through sexual harassment. And by putting themselves in the shoes of an active bystander, they hopefully will unlearn the toxic biases when it comes to how to best to support somebody that is going through this, how for us to find words that are supportive and how not to ask questions that imply responsibility onto a survivor.
And Daniela, I could go on and talk to you, but we're up against the clock. I'm so sorry to interrupt you, but thank you so much for your incredible work. We'll definitely get you back on the show to talk a little bit more about your video game, The Way Out, and best of luck with Hold Me Right. Really appreciate your coming on the program. Thank you so much.
I'm not just a pawn in this game.
Three nights a week on Global.
They're putting targets on their back. Massive.
Drama.
I guess you could say I'm in a showman.
They're just so in love and so annoying. Enough.
Betrayal.
The guy just put up his best friend now.
And plot twists.
What is happening right now?
You'll never see coming.
If you're coming for me,
this is perfect.
I'm coming for you then.
It'll be a battle.
Like, it'll be war.
Big Brother Canada. All new Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Sundays on Global. Stream on Stack TV.